let's go back. Let's go back 2,000 years ago. And we've all just experienced 3 very strange years in our life. Some guy named Jesus had been walking around and teaching strange things that we hadn't heard before. They sounded like we should know them, but we didn't really know them. Didn't understand them. Couldn't understand them, it seems like. Not only that, but this strange Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles. I mean, so out of the ordinary. I mean, it just kind of set everything on edge, and our life was a little bit topsy-turvy. Well, the leaders took care of that problem. They crucified him. They threw him in a grave. But you know what? Some people were saying that he rose again. That he was running around talking to people. And he did that for 40 days. That doesn't sound like any near recovery. And then he just disappeared and went up into the sky. That's all fine. I thought, that was it. But then guess what? 10 days later, something very strange happened. All those people that had been following and listening to him, they were gathered in an upper room. And they're praying. And all of a sudden, the building shook and the Holy Spirit came falling down upon them. And they came out and they started, every single one of them, they started talking about Jesus. And we could all understand him. Didn't matter where we came from, we could all understand him in our own language. Yeah. Oh, this is getting to be a really crazy world. Whatever happened to normal? Can we get back to normal? But no. Just as things are getting settled down, there's a whole new group that's meeting in the temple every Sunday, not the Sabbath, you know. They're meeting there on Sunday and gathering together. They're breaking bread. They just look like they're having a great time. It's just another day. And so you're on the way into the temple. And you come to the temple, and you're about to ascend the steps up into the temple. And there's this lame man. He's been there for 40 years. 40 years this poor guy's been carried there and laid at the steps just to ask alms so he can take care of his basic needs. But God is at work. Here's this man, everything seems just fine and dandy. And up walks these two guys, John and Peter. And this old lame guy does what he normally does, alms for the poor. And John and Peter turn over and they look at him and they say, I really don't have any money to give you, but you know what? I do have something I can give you. Let me tell you about Jesus. And they extended their hand to this man. And that man that had been lame since he was born, who never knew how to walk, all of a sudden he just stood up. And he didn't just walk. It says that he was leaping and jumping and joyful was all he, because he could walk now. A miracle had been had. These are strange times. But then, this Peter gets up and he starts talking. He starts talking about the fact that you today are witnessing something God has been planning all along. Something that way back in the days of Abraham, in fact, all the way back to the garden, to Adam and Eve, God was working on a plan. In fact, he had even told Moses, you know, Moses, that one of these days, your people are going to find a prophet that's not like any other prophet. And he's going to take care of my people. And they started talking about this, and they talked about how we had rejected that prophet. That's troublesome. God sent us a gift and we rejected it? What in the world are we going to do about this? And that's where we come to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Where it says there, Peter tells them, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. You see, Peter was talking to these people who were in this state of confusion, who didn't understand what was going on, who were really confused about everything. And he tells them the very first thing they need to do is repent. And you and I in the church, we use this term so flippantly, repent, repent, repent. But what does it really mean? It means to change. And what had these people not done? They hadn't changed, right? They had seen miracles. They had heard great teaching. They had seen someone crucified. They'd seen someone raped. I mean, he wasn't hidden in a corner, you know. He wandered amongst the Israel for 40 days. He had talked to people. There was evidence upon evidence. And yet he is calling them to change. And we, like they, so often we get stuck into our routines. We get stuck into 134 years of history as a church. And God comes to us and he says, my friends, I want you to change. There's some things that you haven't realized about Jesus. There's some things you have not experienced about Jesus. But I'm going to need you to trust me. I'm going to need you to say, repent ye therefore. Change. You have to be willing to embrace change. You have to be willing to turn around. You were doing something. You are involved in something. And God is saying, stop. Stop what you're doing and turn away from that. Turn away from that which is so consuming your time, so consuming your finances, so consuming your heart and your soul. Turn from those things. Repent ye therefore and be converted. You see, we turn and God begins to change. He begins to change us. Yesterday, we were in my wife and I attended an English as a second language training class. We could set up possibly here at the church a training center for people who do not speak English as their first language and help them to develop their English skills. But while we were there, one of the challenges they gave us was to give our testimony in a simple way. And they said, no church jargon. Try that. That's hard. Can't use terms like saved. Can't know terms like redeemed. You have to explain the gospel. And really what it is it's this. Repent. You see, I saw that I was headed in the wrong direction. I saw that my dependency on drugs, my using of my friends, that all that was wrong. And I needed to turn from that. So it says, repent ye therefore, and it says, be converted. And I was converted. The Lord said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new goal. I'm going to give you new power. I'm going to give you new insights. I'm going to give you the Word of God, and the Word of God has become more precious to you than anything else that you have. And these are the things that I'm going to do. But first, I want you to repent. I want you to say, I'm headed in the wrong direction. And even as believers here today, there are areas in your life where you are headed in the wrong direction. You are not putting God first. You're putting other things first. You're not following Him. And there's a need for you to first say, Lord Jesus, help me to turn from what I am so stuck on. Thirteen years of doing something is a pretty bad habit. But in less than 6 months, God turned because I was willing to say, Lord, change me. And then He converted my heart. He converted my heart to finding greater pleasure in cooperating with my wife instead of fighting with her. He gave me greater pleasure in playing with my kids instead of fighting with them. He gave me greater pleasure in finding that I could find peace without drugs, without alcohol. He found, gave me peace to say, those guys that were influencing me, I can live without them. You see, the scripture says, repent ye therefore and be converted. And that's exactly what you and I are in desperate need of, no matter where we are. If you're not saved today, you've never taken that first step. You've never realized that your life is filled with selfishness. I'm not going to call it sin anymore. I like the term selfishness because that really is the root of it. The root of it is that I'm going to do things my way because it benefits me. It's all about me, selfishness. That's what all sin entails. If I lie, if I cheat, if I steal, if I kill somebody, it's all a matter of I want something for me. Selfishness. So, sin. So repent ye therefore and be converted. Do we really want? I mean, sometimes, yeah, okay, I didn't want those drugs. I tried to turn away from them on my own so many times and never was successful because I never allowed God to come in and convert. Change me. So it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins maybe blotted out. Can you imagine every failure that you have ever had in your life disappear? That's what the cross of Calvary is all about. You know that blood that came from his veins? That's what God uses to blot out the stains of our sin. He takes that blood and he uses us to wash us white as snow. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. But first there comes, you need to say, I need to turn. We need to allow him to convert us. And then that blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washes us white as snow. That your sins may be blotted out. You know, blotting is an interesting thing. How many of you have ever written something in pen or ink, and then you said that's wrong and you wouldn't? You would have blotted it out. Okay. But you know that underneath that you can still see the indentations. You can still see it. But if you take ink and you actually pour ink on an ink written thing, it floods it and you cannot distinguish it at all. You see, he blots out our sins. He separates them as far as the east is from the west. He separates them so that we, you know, to the bottom of the ocean, that's 3 miles deep. One day I tried to sit there and calculate how many atmospheres. An atmosphere is the amount of pressure we feel here on the earth. And so, and I forget what it was, but it was astronomical. Just think of an elephant sitting on the very top of your head. And you haven't even begun to imagine what it would be like to be. But that's where he's buried him, that far down. He'll blot your sins out. So you need to repent, you need to be converted, and then your sins are blotted out. That means all those failures that you have, all those failures that keep nagging at you right now, they're gone. The only person that's ever going to bring them up is the devil. Because he wants to convince you that, you know, God really didn't do what he said he did. It's gone. Your sins are blotted out. So it says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Let's think about that phrase. Will you think about that phrase with me? It says, when the times of refreshing. How many of you like a nice ice cold water, lemonade, tea, whatever your forte is, in a hot day like it's been this last week? Okay, and so, refreshing, isn't it? Or going from outside into a nice air conditioner, that's refreshing too, isn't it? And so what it is it relieves us from all the pressure of the previous place that we've been in. It relieves us of the thirst that we've had. That's the refreshing. And so if we repent and be converted, and our sins are blotted out, then we have this time of refreshing. You see, all of a sudden our burdens are gone. All of a sudden our burdens have disappeared and we have this sense of freedom. It's like running with a 50-pound weight on your back and then all of a sudden taking the bout and you go, wow, I can really jump now. You know, it's that type of freedom that comes when we allow the Lord to bring us to that place that we say, I need to turn around. I need you, God, to change me. Lord, blot out my sins. Separate them from me. Erase them from my mind. And let me see your presence. You do know that this is not just an act of your flesh. This is a miracle of God. Just like that lame man getting up and walking. He had been lame from birth. There were no surgeries. There were no time of recovery. It was instantaneous. And in that instant, when we have repented and been converted and our sins are blotted out, the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And people say, I want the presence of the Lord. Oh, bring the presence. Oh, let's have revival. But can we get there without the repentance, without the conversion? Without the realization of all that Jesus Christ has blotted out? You know why you have to have 3 days or more of revival? Some of them go on weeks. Because we're so hard-headed and so pig-headed, it takes that long to break through this thick skull and get us to realize, I just need to repent. It's simple. Admit you did wrong, turn from it, ask God to change you, and then it's all great. But no, 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 no. I haven't done anything wrong. Maybe Mary has, but I haven't. Maybe Cheyenne has, but I haven't. right? We point at everybody else and all their sins, and we think we're doing a real good job. The truth of it is, we just made a big sin because we became very judgmental, didn't we? Yeah. We began to look down on people. We were being, oh, here's that word again, selfish. Yeah. And so we don't have that joy. We don't have that freedom. We're in misery. We say, but I go to church. I'm there at church every Sunday. I'm there and I'm serving the Lord. Yet inside, it's empty. It's dark. It's hurting. For all kinds of reasons. Because we've never really come to the point that we repent. We turn and say, this isn't working for me. I need a drastic change here, Lord. You need to change me. You need to help me to see that all my sins are gone. They're erased. They're under the blood. And Lord, I need you to come in. I need you to refresh my soul. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? He says, I offer you water. But not water that you're going to have to come and draw every week. This will be a well of water springing up within your soul, refreshing you from the inside, refreshing you without need of work, something that only God can do. And so, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I hate to disappoint you, but you know, you're gathered here with a great group of people, but your refreshment is not going to come from this group of people as great as they are. Oh, you might have some pleasant memories. You might have some good times. You might have a few chuckles and laughs, and they'll carry you for a little while, but real refreshment comes from the presence of the Lord. And the reason that we gather together and we're not doing Zoom and we're not doing all those things is because it's where two or three are gathered. His presence is there. You see, each one of us who has been born again has the Holy Spirit sitting and dwelling within us. But the problem is my Holy Spirit may be quenched because I've been selfish this week. And so I come in and here's Carol bubbling over and she says, oh, the Lord's been good. He saved me from the snake. I haven't seen the snake all week. If you don't know, we got a pet project going on here called the snake that's bothering her chickens. And so, but so God has given her, and but I'm, it's been a miserable week. And I see her bubbling over and I kind of go, and then she reminds me that God is good all the time.
That's right.
And then I say, Lord, I need your presence with me. I've been centered on me. I need to center on you. And so what we really need is we need to be willing to say, Lord, I want to come into your presence today. Your presence, God. The times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. And then what is, well, this is the key verse, but look what it says after that. And he shall send Jesus Christ, whom before you was before was preached unto you. So what does he say? He says, I'm going to send my, and then what's going to happen is those teachings, those preachings, the truth of the scripture, the words of life that Jesus embodies, they shall be coming to you and they will refresh you. That he needs to be preached. He needs to be declared. And when you have been repentant and converted, and sins are blotted out, and those times of refreshing coming, then the preaching of the Lord is great to you. It is marvelous to you. It is enthralling to you. And it means more to you than anything else. And it becomes a constant diet that you need to be fed by the Word of God. That as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you may grow thereby. We want to grow. We want to see this change stay. And so we need to see this season of refreshing, and then we need to continue to see the word preached. And so you have an opportunity. Today, you can repent and be converted from whatever is troubling you, whether it's a need for salvation or something else that has been oppressing on your life. And then you can come back the rest of the week because the word of God is going to be preached for 3 days in a row. Wow! You know? That's like getting a booster shot and a booster shot and a booster shot. That's some good stuff. That'll get you energized and that'll carry you through for a while. But notice it says seasons of refreshing. Just like the seasons change. You know what? Revival does not last forever. It's a booster shot. And so we need to take advantage of it while we can. It doesn't come around all the time. So when the Spirit of God begins to move and He's brought you to that point, you need to make sure you're there and that you're hearing the Word of God preach and that you clear your calendar. Say no to something in this world and be here so that the Word of God can be preached. I promise you, in the next 3 days, with Pastor Covington coming and speaking to us, your heart will be stirred in a way that's 100% different than this preacher. You've gotten kind of numb to this preacher. You know what to expect. You know he's going to go walk down the aisles. You know that he's going to go tap somebody on the shoulder. You know all his tricks. But you're going to have a man that's going to come in here and he's going to open up your heart, his heart, to you. And it's going to melt you. But you have to be ready. You have to be willing to make that commitment and throw those excuses out. You need to do that. Whom heaven received must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That Jesus that is calling us to repentance right now. That Jesus that wants to see us converted and changed. That Jesus that wants to blot out all our transgressions. That Jesus is in heaven working hard for us, standing before the throne of God and making supplication for us so that these changes will take effect. That they will allow us to become missionaries.
Oh, I can't be a missionary. I go to China.
Yes, you can. You see how much our teaching is warped? God has called every single person who has ever believed on His Son, Jesus Christ, to be a missionary. Every day. Missionaries aren't just the people that are dedicated and that we pray for in our missions moment. Missionaries are anybody who has a burden to share the gospel of Christ. And I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to say, here's one of the things I think we need to repent of. Is, are you really burdened to share your faith with somebody else? Do you really believe that if you share, admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for you, and call upon Jesus as Savior, that somebody's life can be changed?
Or saved?
Saved. Changed. Converted. You see, this is what God is calling us to when He says, repent ye therefore and be converted. We just say, oh well, I need to be saved from my sins. It's so much deeper than that. We need to be saved from the way that we've always done things and the way that we expect things to be done. You see, we put God in a box and we say, God, you work in this box and I'll be just fine because I can go do anything else and you're stuck in that box and I don't have to worry about you. But I'll tell you what, we let God out of that box. We repent and say, God, let me tear that box apart for you. Lord Jesus, come into my life and change me. Help me with these problems. I'm having trouble with this. The pastor's over there and he's talking about going and telling people about Jesus. I'm scared. I can't do that. And you need to be saying, Lord Jesus, I need you to change even that.
Yep.
That's when revival becomes real. When the Spirit of God begins to change us from the inside out, He reminds us of the great promises that He's given us, the eternal life that is ours, the blotting out of our sins, all the things that God has in store for those who will call upon the name of the Lord. That is revival. That is what we're praying for. And I wish it could happen right here, right now, and it could. But normally, because we are so hard-headed, it takes a little bit more time of God manipulating and softening the clay. I know. I got one motive and only one motive this morning. And that's to get you out for the rest of the week. To get you out and say, God, bring me to that point of repentance. Lord, help me to change. And realize that you're willing, you want, you already have, if I just will accept it. You've blotted out all my. Do you realize Jesus died for the sins of the world? Even the cartel members, Jesus died for their sins.
No.
He even died for some of our politicians and their continual lies. All sin. So that every man can. But what's keeping them from being saved? They will not repent. What's keeping you from living fully for God? You will not repent. You will not allow God to change you. You think you need to do it, that you have the method, you have the methodology. Let's just take something that everyone knows, somebody that's dealing with. Cigarette addiction. Not picking on you. I don't know if you have that. I don't know anybody here that has a problem, so I'm not picking on anybody. But cigarette addiction is really real. I watched my mom wrestle with it. 2 packs a day for 40 years. And then one day she decided she was going to change. And she did. But you know why she was able to conquer that master in her life? Because she put somebody else at the helm. She got saved. And she had Jesus to help her. To change her from the inside. And so it is with every single one of the things that we wrestle with. Whether it's bad thoughts. Whether it's pornography. Oh, I can't say that. Yeah, I can't say that. Mm-hmm. Because the church is for it's a hospital for sick people. We're all sick. And we need God to convert our hearts. But it starts with us being willing to say, Lord, I need to turn. Help me to turn. Show me where to turn. Show me how to turn. And let me trust you to make the change permanent. How big is your God? Is your God big enough to do that for you? What are you wrestling with? Don't you think God wants to help you with that? You just got to stop saying, I'll do it my way. And allow him to do it his way. You need to stop saying, well, I failed before, I could never do it again. Oh, I failed so tough. You know how many times I've got. Hey, I know how many times you tried to quit. I know how many times I've tried to quit drugs. I know what it's like. But God, when he gets hold of us, works a miracle of change. Don't go back to that religiosity. Don't go back to that Pharisaical, Sadduceical attitude. But realize that God can and wants to change you. And then, and only then, are you going to get that season of refreshing. The smile that goes from ear to ear. That sense of peace and solitude that's within. It comes from the presence of the Lord. When we've repented, been converted, and realize our sins have been blotted out. That's all it takes. That's all you need to do. But now comes the hard part. You know it all. What are you going to do with it? Leave it here? Or allow God to put it here? Let's all stand and sing our invitation hymn if you like. There shall be showers of blessing. Times of refreshing come from showers of blessing. Oh, I know, we all get upset with it. It rains forever and ever. But you know what? Look at how green.